Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering message.
God is going to bless you. Amen. Now, I'm teaching on the series, Bringing Forth Miracles, or Bringing Forth a Miracle. Amen. And last week, we began this series, and I trust the Lord that today is going to do more blessings for us. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 66 verse 5. Psalm 66 verse 5. New Living Translation. Psalm 66 verse 5. New Living Translation. What does it say? It says, come and see what our God has done. What awesome miracles he performs for people. Come and see. Can we say come and see what God has done? What awesome miracles he performs for people. Now say, he's performing miracles for me now. Say it loud and clear. Say, God is performing miracles for me now. So we serve a God of miracle. We serve a miracle working God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he performed miracle yesterday, because he's alive, he's still performing miracles today, and tomorrow your miracle is still guaranteed. Can I hear somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Now, Job chapter 5, verse 8. Job chapter 5, verse 8, New Living Translation. Job chapter 5, verse 8. This scripture will show us the different areas God is going to give you a miracle. It's not exhaustive, but it's going to bless you. Job 5:8 said, if I were you, I will go to God and present my case to him. Why? Did he say, if I were you, I will go to God and present my case before him? Because it's a miracle working God. So if I were you, tell your neighbor, if I were you, instead of worrying, I will present my case to God. Instead of despair, I will present the case to God. So if I were you, I will present my matter to God. So if I were you, I will present my case to God. Verse 9. He does great things. Too marvelous to understand. To understand, he performs what? Countless miracles. That's verse 9. Oh, Tim, are you there? You're following. He does great things. Too marvelous to understand. He performs what? Say with me, he performed countless miracles. Now, verse 10 is going to show you different areas that God, you should expect God to give you a miracle. Verse 10. He gives rain for the earth and water for the field. That is provision. God is going to provide for you.
Yeah.
How many of you realize that now that the rain has not fallen, the heat has been very, very somehow? Or is it only in my house? The temperature has really increased. But when it rains, what happens? The temperature drops, right? So when the Bible says it gives rain for the earth and water for the field, is that it makes life comfortable for you. And I declare that God is bringing comfort to you.
Amen.
Verse 11, look at it. He gives prosperity to the poor and protect those who suffer. Say with me, God is prospering me. So in other words, there is miracle of prosperity. So we've seen the miracle of provision, countless miracles. So it covers divine provision. Then now, he's also talking about prosperity. that God is in the business of giving miracles of prosperity. This week, you are receiving prosperity miracles. Amen. I said, God is going to prosper you. Amen. Say to yourself, he's prospering me more. Then look at the other area he wants to touch. Verse 12. Verse 12. He frustrates the plans of schemers so that the work of their hands will not succeed. There is a miracle that frustrates your enemy. So in the arena of frustrating your enemies, the Bible says God is also in the business of frustrating your enemies so that everything they have put together will not succeed. That is going to be your testimony. Say, that is my God. Verse 13, look at it. It traps the wise in their own cleverness so that their cunning schemes are thwarted. They have put things together against you, planning for your downfall. They are only wasting their time. Those who are planning for your downfall, remind them that they are wasting what? Their time. Because when they have perfected it, God is in the business of thwarting it. God is in the business of spoiling it. And I'm declaring over you today that your testimony in this area shall be more. Amen. I said your testimonies in this area shall be more. Amen. Look at how he's fighting for your battles. Verse 14. They find it is dark in the daytime. Confusion. And they grope at noonday as if it were night. God is bringing confusion to the camp of your enemies. Amen. Well, since those of you on this side don't like it, I say that God is bringing confusion to the camp of your enemies. Look at verse 15. He rescues the poor from the cutting words of the strong and rescues them from the clutches of the powerful. Those who are using power against you, they will be disappointed. Amen. I said, those who are using the position of authority against you, they will be disappointed. Amen. My God will give you a miracle in that arena. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Say with me, I serve a miracle working God. So when you are faced with the challenges of life, one thing you should keep reminding yourself is that you serve a miracle working God. You cannot be defeated. It's not possible. You cannot be defeated. Those who are watching from the house, I'm telling you, you cannot be defeated. You have a God who have never lost a battle. So he knows how to fight your battle for you. And I'm saying God is giving you more victory today. My God is giving you more victory today. What is a miracle? Miracle is simply supernatural event. In other words, that which is above natural. Super means above and beyond. So that which is above and beyond natural, that is a miracle. Miracle is the event that deviates from the natural laws. The natural laws can't explain it. Natural phenomenon can't explain it. How can you explain that when a blind man was prayed for, his eyes open up and he can see without surgery? That is a miracle. So, miracles are simply supernatural events. Now, I would like you to open to Psalm 78 again. I told you last week that you should go and read through and study Psalm 78 because it's the story of the children of Israel. How on so many occasions God will give them a miracle and they will say to themselves, can God do this? Then God will do that for them. Then when they are confronted with another one, say, can God do this? Then God will solve that one for them. Then When they are faced with another one again, then they will begin to doubt God, whether God can actually do it. Now, Psalm 78 verse 19, I will read from the Living Bible first. It said, they even spoke against God himself. Why can't he give us decent food as well as water? They grumbled. Yet, even so, the people kept on sinning and refused to believe in miracles. NET says this. They insulted God, saying, is God really able to give us food in the wilderness? Despite all this, they continued to sin and did not trust him to do amazing things. I would like to say this to you. Refusal to believe in miracles or for miracle is a sin against God. I'm going to show you. Let's read some other translation. ERV says, they complained about it and said, can God give us food in the desert? But the people continued to sin. They did not trust in the amazing things God could do. That is ERV. CEV translation says, they challenged God by saying, can God provide food out there in the desert? But the rest kept on sinning and would not trust God's miracle. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is what? A sin. So at a point in time in your life, your sin may not be fornication, adultery. The sin you may be committing may not be lying or cheating. But whenever you are faced with a difficult situation and you only trust in your natural laws and refuse to believe God for a miracle, then God said you are sinning against him. When you are walking in unbelief, you are walking in sin. When you throw in the towel because of the things that you can see, and you conclude that, hey, this is it. Or you are not believing God for miracles when you are faced with the challenges of life, then the Bible says you are walking in sin. Now, verse 40. No, let's look at verse 33 first. Anytime you are walking in unbelief, there is a consequence for it. Verse 33 reveals what the consequence is. It said, therefore, their days did he consume in vanity. KJV now. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Anytime you are not believing God for miracles, you are allowing the trouble to consume you. No matter how difficult the situation may be, the Bible says because they did not believe God for a miracle, that trouble then begins to consume them. Are you hearing me? You are faced with house rent issues, faced with paying the school fees. And I agree that you don't have the money, but what should you say? I don't have the natural means of solving this problem, but I'm going to believe God for a miracle. The moment you are not believing God for a miracle, you will see that that problem will begin to consume you. That's what the Bible says in verse 33. You are giving yourself to be consumed by that problem. So you will see the problem will become bigger and bigger and overwhelming. Why do you think people have hypertension, high blood pressure? These are called psychosomatic disorders. Why? Because okay. We're heading somewhere today. Because it is to show you what is going on in the mind of that person. Now, how can what is going on in your mind affect your body? Because there is the other dimension to life, which is the spiritual dimension. How can what you are thinking of make you sick? It tells you that what is going on here is a spiritual battle. So verse 41 then says, look at verse 41. Again, the Living Bible, verse 41, again and again, they turned away and tempted God to kill them and limited the Holy One of Israel from giving them his blessings. The unlimited God can be limited when you are not believing him for a miracle. That is why it's a sin not to believe God for a miracle. Whenever you are walking in unbelief, what you are simply doing here, you are tying the hand of God. You are insulting God. You have reduced God to a mortal being. Because that is bigger than you does not mean that it is bigger than God. Always remember that whatever God cannot solve can never come to you. Whatever God cannot solve can never happen to you. God will not allow a problem that has no solution to ever come to you. In fact, that it is a problem means there is a solution. It is not a problem if it doesn't have a solution. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
So, now today we want to continue on how do we then bring forth miracles. Because you see, we must become specialists in birthing miracles. As for challenges, everybody will go through challenges. As for difficult situations, everybody will go through one. But you must then know that the problem is not that you are going through a difficult season right now. The problem is that there is no miracle in the midst of difficult situation. I will say it again. The problem is not about the difficult situation you are going through right now. The problem is that you are not experiencing a miracle in the midst of this difficult situation. Because you cannot rule away challenges. It will always come. And it's not to disgrace you. It's for the name of God to be glorified. Today, it is school fees. When you pass the level of your school fees, tomorrow it can be visa money. Let me say this. Your current challenges is a revelation of your level. Your current challenges is what? A revelation of what? Your current level. So for instance, in our church, there was a time that our challenge was maybe paying rent. But today, that's not our challenge anymore. So, if you cannot believe God to sort out this current challenge, that means your level is going to change. It's not going to change. So, for how long do you always want to borrow to solve the problem? If you borrow to buy the land, will you borrow to build? So, you must learn now, at this current state, that there is always a way out of every difficult situation. And there is nothing that is bigger than God. Is somebody with me? Now, I want to show you some pictures. Why am I showing you these pictures? I want you to know the first thing about miracles, that miracles are not magic. Miracles are not what? Miracles answer to a set of spiritual laws. There are laws that if you follow them, you will give birth to a miracle. Miracles are not magic that you just abracadabra. No. Miracles follow some laws, spiritual laws. So what you need is to understand those laws, master those laws, and you will always bring forth miracles in any situation you find yourself. Miracles can be produced over and over again, regardless of the situation that you find yourself. It's just for you to know how to apply those laws. how to put those laws into practice. You know, for instance, in the natural order, there is what we call the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. Guys, if you have the picture, please show it. The law of cause and effect. Good. Well, why are you smiling? You know, I've not said anything, right? But when you look at this picture, did it trigger something in you? When you look at this baby's face, it triggered a smile. That's cause and effect. There's a law that just played out right now. It's there, you don't know. It's the law of cause and effect. Show me the others. Look at her. Somebody say, Omo, where is she? Well, see me after the service. Cause and effect. Now, let's watch another one. Give me the other one. Why did you shout? Okay. I said, okay. Now, how many of you, which one would you like to associate with? This guy or the other guy? But do you realize that they... Show me another one of these versions. Now, do you know that as we are watching it, something is taking place on the inside?
Yes, sir.
Is the law of cause and effect. Yeah. Now, let me talk to you about something first before we go into how to birth miracle, bringing forth miracle. Because you see, it's both a science and a skill. You can always bring forth miracles. There are, in psychology, there are about 7 attitude and outlook people have towards life and situations. About 7 of them in psychology. They call them 7 outlook and disposition people have when they are faced with situation or they have towards life. So for instance, we have the realist. The first one, the realist. The realist is a practical person. They believe that there was a realist will tell you, let's plan within our means. In other words, based on the data available, this is how far we can go. That's a realist. They believe they are what we call impractical. They are the practical people. That's a realist. Now, to be a realist, it shows how when you are faced with life and difficult situation, your outlook of life is that 1 + 1 = 2. So it means that everything, I cannot go beyond 2. That's practical, principled people, realist. The second outlook is idealist. An idealist person always have an attitude of how things could be, not how they are. A realist sees things as they are, how they are. But an idealist, on the other hand, focus on or they envision the best possible version of things, even though that is not the situation right now. So we have an idea that, okay, this is the current situation, but they're always looking at, oh, this is the best scenario. That's an idealist. The ideal way it should be, not as they are. Then you have the thought, which is called the skeptic. The skeptic is like doubting Thomas. Show me the proof before I believe. In other words, if there is no proof, if there is no evidence, I don't believe. So remember, Thomas said, until I touched his hand, I put my hand and I see the hole of the nail. And I see the nail, I'm not going to believe. But even Jesus went against skeptics and said, blessed are they who do not see, but what? Believe. Some of us are skeptics. Then we have what we call the fourth one, the cynic. The cynic. These ones, they always believe that people are motivated by self-interest. Ah, you mean the man? No, they do this. There must be something in it. There must be a catch. There must be a catch. You mean that they just came and... No. They believe that there must be a cut. There must be if people are if there is no self interest, people can't just do something. You mean he just came and gave you like that? No, be careful, oh, be careful. If I were you, I won't take it. People don't just, there must be a catch. That's a cynic. How many do you have? I told you. Then you have the fatalist. The fatalist. This is another disposition to life. The fatalist. The fatalist are the people that just be like, waiting, go be. Make you leave them. Whatever will be. Oh, there's a song. Oh, Sarah. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Oh, Sarah. All right. Sarah. That's a fatalist. They believe that everything has been predetermined. You cannot change it. That's a fatalist. Then you have the pessimists. Those who always expect the worst outcome in any situation. So if everybody is queuing now, they believe that before you get to my turn, they go down. And of the truth, by the time it's getting their turn, they will say, no more for today. I don't talk. I said it. If everybody is getting the thing, say, if I get there now, they go say, and of the two, when they get there, they will not get it. And they will tell you, I don't talk. I don't want to waste my time. That's a pessimist. You know, a pessimist. They always expect the worst out of situation. Then you have the optimists. Those who always expect positive outcome. They are like the idealists. The optimists always expect a positive outcome. Now, these seven disposition and attitude towards life and situation, most people have it. But there's the eighth one. The eighth one is what we are teaching right now in church. The one who always expect a miracle. There's an eighth one, which is the best disposition to life. That is the one a believer should have. You see, these seven I have mentioned is obtainable out there in the world. You don't have to be a Christian. There are Christians who have this view, this disposition. But the eighth one is what sets us apart. The one who looks at A and B, I said, yeah, we'll tell the realist. I agree with you that practically what we have is A and B. So it should be A, B. But there is another dimension. That is the dimension of Luke 1:37 that says, with God, all things are possible. In fact, another translation says, God does amazing things. God does great things. But there's a name for it. Just as there's a name for the optimist, and there's a name for the realist, and there's a name for the pessimistic. Do you know the name for the one who always believed God for a miracle? Oh, you don't want to know, so let's move on. There's a name for it. The one who always looks forward to miracles, regardless of the situation, regardless of how bad or how hopeless the circumstances may appear, there's a name for it. Should I tell you the name? Are you sure you want to know the name? What will you do when you know the name? You will become the person, right? It's called a miraculist. Go and check it out. Google for it. Miraculist. A miraculist is someone who always expects a miracle. He always believed God for a miracle. A miraculist is someone who says, I agree with the data, but there is another dimension. And that dimension is the God dimension. Because God is in the business of doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all we are able to think, imagine, or ask for. Today I am challenging you, enter into that realm. Become a miraculist. Become a miraculist. Someone who always dared to believe God for a miracle. NCV says, God can do anything. That's Luke 1:37 person. One who always believed that God can do anything. Hallelujah. Now, so to bring forth miracle, you must be a miraculist. To birth miracles, you must be what? A miraculist. Ask your neighbor, are you a miraculist? Or what are you? No, get an answer. Say, are you a miraculist? Or what are you? But I'm telling you, I've chosen to be a miraculist. I've chosen to be a miraculist. And after today, you too decide to be a miraculist. Hallelujah. So what we are learning right now is for those who want to be a miraculist. You are a child of God. You are a miraculist. You must always believe for a higher dimension. The God dimension. You will face the realist and say, thank God for the practical wisdom you have. But there's a dimension that God will make a way right now. Hallelujah. You will tell them, I'm not being optimistic. There is nothing like that. I'm a miraculist. Bible said, to him that believe, all things are possible. That is the dimension of the miraculist. Amen, somebody. Amen. So now let's quickly look at steps to bringing forth miracles. Steps to bringing forth what? Miracles. So last week we learned the step one, or the principles of bringing forth miracles. Not steps, or let's just call it principles. Now we are using the story in Luke chapter 5 to bring out the principles of birthing miracles regardless of the situation. Luke chapter what? 5. So can we open to Luke 5 from verse 1? Let's quickly look at it. Luke 5 from verse 1. Luke 5 from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, and saw two sheep standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Now let's go back to verse 2. Verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Wow. The first principles to bring forth miracle or to bring forth miracle is that learn to focus on God, not on your net. You see, they fished all night and nothing had changed. They came back with empty boats. But Jesus was standing at the shore. But instead of focusing on Jesus, they were focusing on their net. Those who focus on their problem misses the answer. They miss the answer. Those who focus on their problem end up missing the answer. When you make your focus, your problem, your focus, you will miss the answer. The answer to their problem was Jesus. He was standing there, but they focused on their net, the thing that was not working. The Bible says, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, focus on Jesus. Whatever you focus on becomes bigger. The problem you focus on becomes bigger, not get solved. I know things are difficult, but focus on God. I know they say Nigeria is hard. Focus on God. I know the deadline is near. Focus on God. When you focus on the problem, you only become more fearful. But when you focus on God, you become more faith-filled. When you focus on the problem, you become more fearful. But when you focus on God, you become more faith-filled. faith will fill your heart. The reason why you are worried now, you are so depressed, is because you are focusing on the problem and not on God. And what happened is that fear will begin to grip your heart. Hopelessness. You will only begin to see different images that the devil is painting. Is somebody with me? 2 Kings chapter 7. Before we go back here. 2 Kings chapter 7, New Living Translation. Look at it. Verse 1. 2 Kings 7 verse 1. I want you to look at this situation right now. And imagine how this guy could talk like this. Honestly, and this is how some of us we normally talk. This is how we converse with people when things become so difficult. Look at it. Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Who is talking here? He's telling them this is what the Lord says. This guy heard that this is a message from Jehovah, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. But look at how he has reduced God. By this time tomorrow, this is now the message. By this time tomorrow, in the market of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. Now look at the pessimist here. Look at the pessimist. Or we can call him maybe here. I don't know. Well, you can judge in the disposition yourself. Verse 2, everybody. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen. What? God says something will happen, and he replied, that could not happen. That couldn't happen. Even if the Lord, can you imagine that? Do you see how unbelief has taken over his life? Do you see how fear has dominated his life? Even if the windows of heaven. Did you hear a man talking? Even if the window of heaven or the windows. I think he didn't even mention windows. Windows. Windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. The question is, did it happen? Yes, it did. Only that the man was consumed by his unbelief. When they were selling the flour, they walked over him. You will not miss the season of your own miracle. So if I say to you that this year you will buy a house and you will build a house. You will buy and build. But yet you are collecting rent. I know that is bigger than your imagination. But what should you say? I believe God. It is my portion. You say amen. Not because of what you can see, but because you know that there's a higher realm. It's called the miraculous realm. It's the realm of those who always believe God. That he can do all things. That is the realm I belong. I said, that's the realm I belong. That's the realm I belong. That's the realm I belong. Hallelujah. So go back to Luke 5. Do you know something about why this Luke 5:1 is so interesting? Is that this was not the first time that God called Peter. If you read down, he told him again, from today you will become fisher of men. But this was the second calling. You see, if you don't understand the chronological order of the Bible, you would have thought that when Jesus called them, drop your net and follow me. Then from that day they began to follow Jesus. No. Peter was called twice before he finally, it was this event that made him made up his mind to follow Jesus. So go to Matthew 4:18, for instance. Matthew 4:18. Both Peter and John, this was the first time Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 4:18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, the same sea that they experienced the miracle from now, and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were what? Fishers. Verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Verse 20. Watch. And they straight away left their nets and what? Followed him. But when you read Luke 5, they've gone back. Because you see, I believe that by the time they began to follow Jesus the first time, and they saw how difficult things was appearing to be before them, they said, oh boy, Bilal said, we go back. Oh. It was better when I had a boyfriend. Because when I had a boyfriend, the guy was supplying me money. So they went back after this calling. So if you go back to Luke 5:1, you realize that Jesus spoke to them directly because he knew them. He knew their boat. He deliberately went back because they have backslided in learning to trust God. When you are faced with difficult situations, don't backslide in your faith within God. Difficult circumstances can cause you to abandon all your belief in God. I have seen people who used to shout hallelujah in church, but when season changed, now they are faced with a situation. You will just say, oh, mom, forget all those things. Let's face it now. And some will say, let's give what belongs to God to God. Let's give what belongs to Caesar to Caesar. Let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. So you hear somebody who says, I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I serve a very big God. And Eddie comes in. And when the Eddie comes in now, I believe God, 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 I believe God. I'm healed. Headache has no place. My body is the temple of God. And after some time, well, let's be realistic here. Sister, what happened to you? What is the situation? I have headache. No, you cannot have headache. When you say you have taken ownership of that problem. You can feel headache, but don't say you have headache. Headache, when you say you have, that means it is your portion. It belongs to you. But when you say you feel it, it means that it's a stranger. It has no place. It will not last forever. Thank you, sir. I am broke. No, you are not broke. Only say, I need money. Because you see, God is I am. He's never broke. But you can say, I need money. When you begin to say, I need money, is already a prayer. Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I can never be broke. I am broke. No, I'm not broke. I only need money. Why should I carry all my life and say, I am broke because of money that I need? I am not broke. What I need is money. Is somebody with me? Yes, sir. Well, it's like those, my teenagers are not here in church today, so I think we should. Is somebody with me this morning? When you focus on your net, your faith becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. In fact, when you focus on your net, it robs you of the remaining faith you have. You don't see God. You know, I told you, this is it. Always remember, when I'm talking to people, this is one of the things. I'm not saying, let's take this iPad as a challenge. I know you are facing a difficult season. I know that this difficult situation is there. But there are two ways to handle it. Some carry the problem. The only thing is what it means to focus on your net. Everywhere you turn, the only thing you see is the problem. Everywhere you turn, the only thing you see is the problem. it will only take away your joy. It will take away your happiness. It will take away from you even the good people around your life, because now you are withdrawn. You know, and even your children will say, "Daddy, so shut up, daddy, so shut up, daddy." Because they've just sacked him at work. So he's now pouncing like a wild lion, even on the innocent child. Frowning like flamingo. No, there's a better way. And the way is, look at it like this. When you look at it like this, you are not denying the fact that the challenge is not there. But you are saying that even whilst it is there, I still want to see other good things. This is the realm of those who are looking for miracles. So I know you are there, but you are smaller compared to the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that God always makes a way for me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Stop focusing on your nets. Jesus will pass you by if you keep focusing on your nets. Is somebody with me? That's why that guy could say what he said. If God, you could open your mouth and say, even if God will open the windows of heaven. What? Because he was focusing on the problem. The second principles of birthing a miracle. The same Luke chapter 5, verse 2. I have a very big God. Luke 5, verse 2. I'm relaxed because you see, we are bringing forth miracles. Luke 5, 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So this is where we stop, right? That's the first. Don't focus on the net. Now, verse 3. And he entered into the ship, which was what? Whose? Simon's. And prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, do you realize, or did you realize that Jesus did not attend to the problem? He only said, give me your sheep. The second principle that is needed to bring forth miracles is offer God your boats. Offer him your boats. Offer your boats to God. Offer your boats to God, or offer your sheep, but let's call it boats here. Offer your boat to God. What does this mean? Now, do you realize that God wants to bless you? But he's not going to bless you because you are you. He's also going to bless you as you keep offering your boat to him. For 400 years, they were in the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 3. They were in the land of Egypt. 400 years. Exodus chapter 7, verse 16. But when God was going to bring them out, look at what he said to tell the Pharaoh. Exodus 7, 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, hath sent me unto you, saying, let my people go, that they may what? Serve me in the what? Wilderness. And behold, either told that would not say, yeah. Why did he want to let them go? No, why did he want to let them go? God will not solve your problem because he wants you to enjoy life. God will solve your problem so that you can serve him. This is where a lot of us have missed it. You hear some people now say, oh, if I can, things can get better for me, then I will start serving God. No, you are missing it. Start serving him and things will get better. He knew that Peter had a financial need. He knew that Peter was not going through a very good season. But he said, first and foremost, offer me your boat. And he stood in that boat. He stood there and was talking to people. And the guy that was in need, I can feel it. Why are the ACs not on? Well, please check with the technical team for me, please. Why was it that he never attended to his need? Because the principle remains the same. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be what? It's a business transaction. Serving God always leads to blessings. You are expecting a miracle. Start serving. My mother knew this principle. Please, ushers, I can see so many people standing outside. And I've said, during this service, I don't want people outside, please. Movement distracts me. Very well, it distracts me. My mother, with six children, at first, when my parents had issues and she had to take care of us, we would be there. I remember some evening, we would just be doing crying competition. Because there were, even the garri to even drink was not there. And we will cry and cry and cry and cry. And sometimes the only thing we will do is to cry. And the cry will become food and we'll go and sleep. Then, in solving the problem, we resort to begging. So every evening, around 6, 7 sometimes, my mother will carry me. And we will move from place to place. And we'll tell stories, different lies. Oh, we came from Badagry. You know, the Badagry we came from, we came to meet somebody there, but the man is not at home. So we need transport there to go back. Some will believe, some will not believe. And we will take the money. But you know, I don't think we ever made more than 500 naira. So we became a specialist in knowing how to buy garri with okra. You know that okra you turn with pepper and the rest of those things, you know? Then you put that dry crayfish inside. That became our regular meal. But I was a young boy. But I knew when something began to change. We went to a church. That church is no longer there now. It's called Soul Winners Church. As usual, my mother was outside and she said to me, "Say, go and beg." So they were having a Bible study. I remember the woman who was teaching was sitting around the people. So I, very bold, I stood. I said, "Please help me call her." I said, "Who?" I said, "That woman." So who happened to be like the pastor was called. And graciously she came out. And I bombarded her with the lies. "Oh, we came from bad." I forgot whatever story. And she looked at me and smiled. She said two things. "If I give you this money, you will come back again. Or it will not solve your problem. But I'm going to do something for you. I will give you the money, but tell your mommy to come and see me." So what? So, she gave us money. I think that was even the biggest we've collected. 500 naira there, about 1,000 naira. Then I went and gave to my mommy and told my mommy what the woman said. The woman changed our life forever. The problem was, we want God to solve our problem, but we're not giving him our boots. We were focusing on what we want him to do for us and not what we can do. That is what we call survivor mentality. Survivor mentality only makes you think that you are the only one that have a problem. And until that problem is solved, nothing can be done. So you are focusing on the problem and nothing else. So the woman told us, when my mother went, she said, "I want you to start serving God." I said, "When you come, don't talk to anybody about your problem, you know, whatever in church. Don't let them. But give yourself wholeheartedly." That was the first church. Oh, my mother made us join the choir. But I remember one of the things that my mother used to say. Every Saturday, my mother would gather most of us, the children. And we would go to that church early. And we will start sweeping. And my mother said, I think that our mother said, "There is no way you can sweep the house of God and God will not sweep your dirt. There's no way you can clean the house of God and God will not clean you up." So every Saturday, six children, my mother made us the cleaner of the church. Oh, we clean the church. The rest is history today. But I will tell you something. That was the last season that I could remember we ever begged. From that church, my mother started a business. From that church, you know, things began to get better and better and better. I always remember the guy who helped us. My mother started to sell shoe. It was a bakery I was working. And me and the guy got talking in the bakery. I was there just as an apprentice. And the guy, when he heard my story and everything, said, you know, I can help you. My mother imports shoe. And she can make your mother a distributor. And the guy went to go and talk to his mother. And the mother sent for my mother. And that was how my mother became an... my mother started selling shoes, male, female, bags. And eventually she too had the means to start importing the things or bringing it in herself. But listen to me. Listen to me. How did we get to that point? The simple decision was to offer God our boat. When I mean your boat, number one, the boat I mean, number one, is your life. Is your life. He knows you have a problem, but he's standing on the door and he's standing at the door and knocking. He said, if any man will open, I will step in. You are too busy for God. That is why he's not stepping into your life. Look at us. So many of us, no time for God, and we are expecting him for a miracle. He said, let them go that they may serve me. Give God a place in your life, brother. I used to tell the young people that I would have been a conductor for the rest of my life. I know I was trained as a conductor. I know how to come down even if the bus is about 50 kilometers an hour. They train me how to come down on motion, whether Molue or whatever. But when you look at me today, it doesn't look as though I've been there. The secret thing I have learned, and I'm still learning to today, if you ever know me, is that offer God your life and your life cannot be useless. Give him your life. He did not attend to Peter until Peter gave him a place in his life. How is your life, sister? Some of us, we are waiting to offer God the part of our life that has no strength. Which part? When should you start serving God? Mark 12, verse 30. Mark 12, 30. Mark 12, 30. Look at it. Mark 12, 30. What does it say? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with what? With all what? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He's talking about the best part of your life, not the retired part of your life. He's talking about the healthy part of your life, not the sick part of your life. He's talking about your youthfulness. He's talking about your brainy self. He's talking about your intelligent self. Not until you are, even the world have rejected you and I say, now here I am, use me. When the world rejects you, God is not ready to go and accept you. There's a part of your life that is so productive. You can imagine if I'm waiting to start serving God when I'm 65, when I'm 55, when I'm 50, maybe 60. So what have I done with my 20s? What have I done with my 30s? What have I done with my 40s? So even when the world says at a certain age, we should retire you, how much more God? God told Peter, offer me your boat. You ran away after I called you. And you thought that going out for this fishing business, that was the second calling. This fishing business is the only way you can always make it. But look at it now, you have thought all night. Look at what your life, with all your struggle, with all I can do it, what has it amounted to? Oh, I can do it. You have borrowed now. Nobody's borrowing you anymore. You have lied and lied, no lie to tell anymore. You have sent false message. Even your brothers don't want to see you anymore. Your sisters don't want to see you anymore. Your uncles don't. Nobody wants to help you. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from where? The Lord. Offer him your boat and you will begin to see the turnaround. Don't let this problem consume you. God knows you have a problem. Made you have time for his work. You have been going around looking for a solution, and he's saying your solution is here and now. If you can only offer your boat to me, As you make up your mind to serve God, to give him your boat, to create time for God, to serve him with the productive part of your life. Oh, God is remembering you, my daughter. God is remembering you, my son. God is remembering you. He's making a way of escape for you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's making a way of escape for you. He's making a way of escape for you. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, I hope for myself. I hope for my poor to you, Lord. In Arababuska, Lika Rabababuska, Lika Pababuska, Lika Yabayabaraba, Lika Babarabara, Lika Babababa, Lika.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
How many boats were on that shore that day? How many did Jesus speak to? Who received the miracle? One. So he tells you, the boat that Jesus did not step into, he didn't give that one a miracle. That one only came and joined later when Peter invited, but it was not Jesus that invited that one. So he tells you it's not a coincidence. The one he stepped into is the one he spoke to that now launched out for a miracle. Another translation says that now launch out for a miracle catch. Why? Because he has stepped into that boat. The other boat remained empty. Because that boat had no time for God. That boat had no time for God. Your life is not going well. Because Jesus has no place in your life. I don't know who you are, but you are really struggling. You are really, really, really struggling. And you are hardening your heart. You are trying to do everything your own way. But today is your own day of salvation. I tell you, today is your day of salvation. Salvation means deliverance. God is stepping in. You have tried to run away from his calling. You know he wants you, but you are dodging. You are dodging. You keep hiding. You just want to say, you've made up your mind, I will just sit down and hear the word. I won't do anything anymore. But your boat is empty. He wants to bless you. But he needs you to also meet his need. I just want you to rededicate your life to God. I know there is somebody here today. Today is your day of a turnaround. I don't have a doubt in my spirit. You are here. It's convincing and convicting your heart. Give me your boat now. Do you want to die before you say yes? It's reaching out to you again this morning. It's not the first time he's reaching out to you. And he's saying to you, I need your boat. I need your boat. I need your boat. Ah, Jesus. I pray for this one, oh God. That the grace to make a decision to offer this boat of their life to you. Let this grace come on them.
Amen.
Let them receive that grace to say yes to you, Lord.
Amen.
Let them rise above every distraction that has hindered them from serving you, Lord. Now, everyone, I just want you to pray for yourself. Father, let your will be done in my life. I want to serve you. I want to love you. Please, Lord, in my life, let your will be done. Can you just quickly pray that prayer? Just quickly pray that prayer. Let your will be done in my life. Just quickly pray. Let your will be done.
Let your will be done in my life, Lord.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done in my life, Lord.
Let your will be done.
In the name of Jesus.
Do whatever you want with my life.
Let your will be done in my life.
Do whatever you want with my life.
For myself, as a labor sacrifice, Lord. Let your will be done, Lord.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
All eyes bowed, all eyes closed. I quickly want to pray for somebody here this morning. You want to offer Jesus your boat. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want Jesus to step into your life. You want to become his slave, his servant. And you want him to be your Lord and your master. You want to say, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to serve you with my life. I know you are here. Maybe you want to even rededicate that life of yours to him. To say, Jesus, take my life and use it for your glory. Or you want to give your life to Jesus. You have not made a public declaration of your faith in Christ. Wherever you are this morning, I just want you to please come forward. Let me pray for you. I know you are here. Today is your day. Just come. Take that bold step, my sister, and come. Just come. Come. I know you are here. Just come. God is making a way in your life. My brother, come. Come. You want to make a decision to offer your boat? Yes. Come to Jesus. You can give him your life today. You can rededicate your life to him today. You can rededicate your life to him today. Wherever you are, just come. I know there is still someone that needs to be here this morning. Take, you are thinking, should I go? Should I not go? You have nothing to lose. Just take that step of faith and say, Lord, I'm giving my boat to you. I'm giving my boat to you. I'm giving my boat to you. Take this life of mine and fill it up. Fill this life up with your glory. Step into my life. Step into my life. Step into my life. God bless you. God bless you. He's making something beautiful out of your life today. He's making something amazing. As you rededicate your life to him, as you make a public declaration that Jesus, step into my boat. Step into my boat. I need you more than ever before. I don't want to keep running the race of life by my strength. Ah, Lord Jesus, step in. I want you to know that he's stepping in. There is still one more person that needs to be here. Oh yes, you thought I was going to leave it without calling you. You are supposed to be here. Come now. One more person that needs to be here. Come. I'm convinced in my spirit that there is one more person. God bless you. God bless you. Place your hand on your chest. The good news is that the Bible says that if you come to me, you shall by no means be cast away. He loves it when we humble ourselves and ask him to step in. So say with me, dear Heavenly Father, today, I publicly
open up my life,
offer this life of mine, unto you, my Lord.
Unto you, my Savior.
I publicly offer you this life. That I am your servant.
You are my Lord.
I am your slave.
You are my master.
Take this life of mine.
Fill it up with your glory.
And use it. Greatly, as it pleases you.
Lord Jesus,
I am yours for life.
I am yours for life.
Wash away all my sins. With your precious blood. I confess you.
I receive you.
As my Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For what you have done for me today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for all those ones who have come to rededicate their life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And those who are giving their life to you for the first time. Lord, these ones have come to give back to you that this life of theirs belongs to you.
Oh, yes.
And they are saying, Lord, step into my boat.
Oh, yes.
Lord Jesus, step into their lives.
Amen.
Take control.
Amen.
Have your way.
Amen.
Glorify your name.
Amen.
In every situation, glorify your name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Lord, I commend this one to you and to the word of your grace.
Oh, yes.
They have come to offer their life to you. Lord, make something amazing out of this life.
Amen.
Make a glorious testimony out of this life.
Amen.
You made a testimony when you stepped into the boat of Peter.
Oh, yes.
Lord Jesus, you turned things around in the life of Peter.
Oh, yes.
Father, I'm asking that you will do the same for these humble servants of yours.
Amen.
Turn things around in these lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Make a testimony out of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Make something wonderful.
Amen.
Something glorious.
Amen.
Out of this life, oh
Amen.
God. And I thank you, Lord, because you always hear and answer my prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
As I've prayed for them, I thank you because you are doing amazing things.
Thank you, Lord.
And they shall remember today.